So what I'd like to speak about today are markers in our life like that. I would like to speak about some things. We'll look at some very well-known verses. A number of you will know these passages, but I'd like to look at them in the context of markers and the memorial. And it's, you know, if we look in scriptures, there's a marker is just something to mark a moment in time. It could be a memorial, it could be an altar, it could be something else. So we'll use the word marker today to recognize different moments. Does this sound good? All right, so our very first passage, we're going to look at three examples and then kind of an illustration on how to do it. So here's the story, and many of us know the story of David and Goliath. David, and it, like I said, these marker moments are, there's some well-known scriptures to this, but I think there's relevancy here in looking in terms of the marker. So David is you know, we the Bible describes it very well, and one side of this big field are the Israelites, and the other side are the Philistines, and then in the middle is this big field. They had a buffer zone, and the Philistines would call out to battle. You know, they would send their champion out and try to call out the Israelites to fight, and the Israelites didn't want to fight. They saw that the champion was big, Goliath was big, and they saw the army, and they knew there was fear, and you know, they didn't want to fight. And here enters David, this young guy who his father sent him to bring food, to bring rations to his brothers in the front lines. So David shows up and he sees Goliath make this call out, and it's a big moment. And David, this young guy who's not even fighting, he has his decision. David said to Saul, so now David's talking to Saul, and he's saying, you know what, Saul, I want to fight. I want to go take on Goliath. Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Okay. You catch what he's saying here? Saul, do you know that I've killed a lion? And a lion had a lamb in its mouth. And I grabbed the lion by its beard and I killed it. Have you known anybody to get in a fight with a lion? Can we just get our head around that for a minute? He got in a fight with a lion. He took the lion's beard and he killed the lion. This is a good fighter, don't you think? I've heard people over the years say things like, you know, well, they were smaller lions back then. It's a lion! We've got to give credit to what's going on. It's still a lion. I don't want to take on a chihuahua. You know what I mean? I mean, not many people want to go fight a chihuahua. This is a lion. But not only that, he fought a bear. A bear. He's got these experiences. I had an experience with a bear in Alaska. My dad had an experience with the same bear. Here's the story. And I know you remember this story. We're standing in a river. And I mean, I'm wearing, you know, hip boots. And my dad's wearing hip boots. And we're in an Alaskan river. Right? Just for context, I grew up in Alaska. And a lot of my experiences in childhood were formed there, and it's not like Wisconsin. So I'm standing in a river, and I'm learning how to fish with a fly rod, and I can fish with other rods, but I'm learning how to fish. And on the end of my line, I've got a salmon on. In this river full of salmon, I've got a salmon on. It's a big salmon, and I'm learning to bring it in. You know, you can't kind of crank it up with a fly rod. You've got to kind of bring it in. And my dad's standing next to me with a big salmon net, and they're big nets. They're not small. They're big nets because the salmon are bigger fish. So I suppose it would be a great photo, a father and a son, you know, and there's a fish on, and dad standing with the net. And it's a scene. It's a great scene in this mountain river. All of a sudden, my dad starts to run in the water. He just starts to go. He doesn't say a word. He drops the net, and he starts to go. I have the salmon on, and I don't know what's going on, so I pick up the net. Hey, you know, and I want to scoop the salmon, and you know, it's hard to do when you've got a rod, and I can't figure it out. And for whatever reason, I look over my shoulder, and there on the shoreline watching me is a bear. And my dad had taken off, going in the water, because you know, you can't move fast in water, you know what I mean, how that goes. So I see the bear, and I wise up real fast, and I start to run in the water. And I've got my net, my rod, and I'm still carrying the net the whole way behind him. And the salmon's flipping on the end of the line. And the bear, is going parallel with me up the shoreline. I don't know why I didn't let go of the rod. That would have been the smart thing, and I don't need your judgment. But I was really going up there. And my dad, at this point, he's way ahead. He's saying, tell him where I was going, because it makes him sound like he's a coward. He's not a coward. He's running for the gun. No, at first, I didn't know that. At first, it was just sheer panic. I knew I had to save myself and this salmon. He did get out of the water ahead of me, and he's going for the gun. I was the one who was going with the bear. Because I didn't let go of the rod, you know. So anyway, I get closer to the end, and my dad's out, and the bear gets spooked off at that point. But I will tell you what, that moment for the bear and me, that was an awkward moment for one of us. What do you think? David killed a bear. And I look at my, when I was a kid, I would hear the story of David and Goliath, the lions and the bears. And I would view it one way. When I saw the bear, I viewed that story in a different way. So please be assured, I don't think I want to mess with a bear. And if David killed a bear, even if it was a little bit of a smaller bear, he still killed a bear. They have big teeth. Right? So he's saying, you see the marker in this story. He's saying to Saul, well, Saul, as a matter of fact, I've killed a lion. I have that marker. I remember that in my life. I had success killing a lion even to the point where I had to kill it. I was fighting it. I had to grab its face and kill it. And, Saul, I've killed a bear. I killed this, and I also killed this. They weren't in the same fight. And I did these things. So, yeah, bring on another challenge. Bring on a Goliath. David's markers reminded him he could take greater success, greater attempts. He started with this, he went to this, now he's ready for Goliath. Sometimes in our life, we need those markers to say, yes, you know what, I did do that. And then I did this too, so why can't I try this? If David would have woke up and started with Goliath, that might be a big step. But he started with just a lion. And then he went to a bear. And then he got to his Goliath. We need these markers. We go on. We'll just finish the passage here. 36, your servant has killed both a lion and a bear. I remember killing these two. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. David just couldn't abide by that. He couldn't abide by the fact that they were here, that Goliath was there to defy the armies of God. You talk about faith, huh? But he had his markers in life. He killed the lion. He killed the bear. I can do this. God's with me. I'm with him. And God won't tolerate this. So that's an example of a marker that can be very encouraging over time. We have another marker. Abimelech said to Isaac, go away from us, for you are much mightier than we. Abimelech was the king of the Philistines in the land. Isaac had been living in the land. This is Isaac, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is that Isaac. And he's living in this land, and he's having great success. Isaac is having great success. His herds are getting bigger. His wealth is growing. He's got more and more people with him, so much so that the Philistines around, including the king, started to think if Isaac wanted to, Isaac could just take over the land. He could take the land from all the Philistines around. So that's why Abimelech had gone to Isaac saying, you know what, you're too big, just go away. And he tried to get him to go away so there was no threat going on because of his size, his strength, his might. Isaac was too big. And Isaac left. Where do you go? Isaac woke up, and we read on, then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his fathers had called them. In the hard times, Isaac remembered where he had previous success. He had no place to go. Abimelech had said, go. Where should I go? Well, I might as well go where we had success before. I know there's water there. My dad had dug up some wells. I know there's water. Let's go. Let's bring the flocks, the herds, the tents, the camels, whatever. And here we go. We're going to go land back. We'll redig because we know there's water there. It had been successful before. And there are times in our life, in the really hard times, we retreat to these places. We go, you know what? I know that I had success before. And it could be anything. It could be a career success, but also with the kingdom. And what I mean by career success, I've seen people lose their jobs and they don't know how to. What do I do now? And sometimes they go back to the career that started them off. And they apply for those jobs because they did it before. They can do it again. If somebody's a bank teller, they go back to being a bank teller. They don't go, I think I'll be a doctor now. They go to what they know. It can be a very good reminder for them what they used to do. But in the kingdom of God and life also, we can have discouraging times. And we find these moments, you know what? God really spoke to me this one time. I was this one place. I felt so encouraged. I'm going to go back to this place and I'm going to do this one thing again. And I'll just have a great time. This summer, with our youth group went to Alaska. They went to Anchorage. They didn't go to the place that we had come out of, but I did. Our youth group they went one place, and I got a morning to myself. So I went to services at the place that we left Alaska from. And I hadn't been there for a service there since we left. Not a weekend service like that. And it was a head trip for me. And I had a great time and a horrible time at the same time, if that makes sense. And I walked around, and I'm looking in the hallways, and they've got their own building, and they had their own remodeling. And it was so nice to see and remember things. And I remember sitting in this one spot and looking over, and I just remember being in this room going, I got in trouble in that corner. I wasn't supposed to be there with my friends, and we got busted. You know, I was there. I shouldn't have been there. And I had the best time. And then I would walk down the halls, and I would see the remodeling, and I would go, oh, you've ruined my memories. I mean, not really, you know, but they've changed the shape of the room, so my memories are, I have to live my memories more than just being there. I had a great time being there. And there are people, though, that will go back to a memory like that in the hard times, and they never leave. They never leave. They never change. So let me show you, illustrate this with what Isaac did here. So he goes back and he digs the wells. In the hard times, he digs the wells because he knows there's success. But Isaac wasn't just content with just existing. And sometimes our markers in life can make us think that we have to just exist. We take on a just exist mentality. We read on with Isaac. After he digs those wells, he tries to dig some new wells. And the people around didn't want him digging wells. So 22, abandoning a well that the people hassled him over, Isaac moved on and dug another well. This time there was no dispute over it, and Isaac named the place Rehoboth, which means open space, for he said, at last the Lord has created enough space for us to prosper in this land. You know, our markers are good things to us to go back to in the hard times. We remember that, yes, we had success with God, but we're not content only just to exist with those old memories. We have to dig new wells. Our memories can't trap us in them forever. And there are believers that get these trapped memories of the old days. There was a reason why we left those old days behind. Had my family not left Alaska, we wouldn't be here today. I'm glad that we're here today. But we had to leave those old days behind. We had to prosper. In the hard times, we can have a marker, a memory in our life that reminds us of what God did, and we can go back when we're really feeling low. Yes, Lord, you're still with, just like you were with back then. But then we have to remember to dig a new well. God didn't call us to exist. He called us to prosper. And I know this is a big concept. How do we dig a new well? Just don't get trapped in the old memories. And everybody, all of us here have different memories of points in life that are strengths to us. Things that the Lord did. I hope we recognize what the Lord did in those points. But we can't get trapped in them. We have to know, God, there are new things for us. The third thing I want to look at. Well, just look at it. This was a great big event. Joshua takes over for Moses. Moses, of course, had parted the God had parted the Red Sea, and Moses was the leader at the time. And when Joshua took over, it was at the edge of the river, from the river to the sea. God gave the parameters to the Israelites. You like how I worked that in there? From the river to the sea? Yeah. This is God speaking to Joshua, who's taking over now. Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. And you shall carry them with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. So you got to carry some stones with you. And then they built this, God parted the Jordan River, and they built a memorial. They built a memorial to what God had done. A marker to what God had done. Why not? If God's going to part water like that and you're going to walk through on dry ground, why not build a marker? What a great event. There are times in life that we have these great big events with God, and we know it. I don't think they happen all the time, but we know when something big happens with God. And we go, this is really huge, Lord. I can't believe you're doing this. I'll tell you, a marker that happened to us here at Beth Messiah was the Harvest Picnic 2 years ago. Specifically 2 years ago. Here's what went down. We had bought the building. We had been green-lighted to buy this building. Everything went with financing. They said, yeah, the seller accepted our offer. We had enough money to put into it. And we had all this stuff we had to do. We were going to buy it. And I just had this feeling that we were going to be in here in a week. Isn't that weird? Have you ever gotten financing for a house in a week? And in this week, one of the days was a banking holiday. So the banks were all shut down. And so we had 4 business days to get the transactions through. But I just thought that God wanted us in here. And what was really unique about this was at the end of the week was our Harvest Picnic. Now, we have a challenge here. And I don't know if you see it very often, but since there's 2 congregations sharing 1 facility, sometimes it's a hard time to coordinate how we do what we do. Who will have the first service here? Beth? Anchor? We don't want anyone to claim dibs on the first service, so how do we do it? Well, that Harvest Picnic looked real good because that would be both groups at one time. But how do you know that you're going to get in here in 4 business days? Nobody does that. The mortgage preparers, the people who did the prep work for that, the loan company, they said, you're not going to get in there in 4 days. We had to transfer multiple times in a chain. We had to wire transfer money. So from one place to another place, and then to another place, we had 3 wire transfers, and each one's an overnight process. And so the people who were transferring the money said, oh, no, you're not going to have that in there by then. But I just had this feeling it was going to happen. I couldn't explain it. So much so, we had reservations for a park in Butler for our Harvest Picnic, and I said, cancel the reservations. We're going to get in. We're going to do it. And I got people looking at me like I'm crazy. I said, no, I think God's in this. I think he's in it. I got this feeling. I got this feeling. And our bookkeeper here said, what? And I don't blame her because it doesn't make sense on paper. But I said, trust me, do your part, and we're going to get in. So sure enough, we sign on it was a Friday afternoon, and we go to the closing. On a Friday afternoon, it was raining, and our Harvest Picnic would be on Sunday. And I remember we walked out of there with the keys, and the loan officer was saying, I can't believe this got done so fast. I didn't even know this was possible. Like, I'd never even heard of this before. I've been in the business for 20 years, you know, this kind of thing. And I was just looking at her going, yeah, whatever. I just knew we were going to be in here. I just knew it. So we got in here on that Sunday, and the people who set up for the Harvest Picnic, they scrambled through the building, and the people who were the previous owners of the building had left a bunch of stuff, tables and chairs, and some of you were in here on the very first Harvest Picnic. We sat here. We put the food over here. There was no stage. The room didn't look like this then, and we put the food all around this space, and we had chairs and tables we found, and we layered them all out in here, and all people did was walk around and look at the building. We gave some tours of what we were going to do in the inside of the building, and it was outstanding. It was just the best day. And I think, to me, the middle of the process, it took us years and years to buy the building. It was a whole journey. We somewhere on our website, in the messages, we have the whole recorded journey of why it took 17 years for us to get to the point of buying a building. It's a crazy story of what God did. It's a crazy God provision story. And then finally, we bought the building and he got us in 4 days so we could celebrate together. One whole family, one Ergun Kodesh, one holy community in his name. And we did. We had the best time, except for one lady who had a brain aneurysm right in this room. And they rushed her to the hospital and she lived. So she looks at this day as a marker in her life. Isn't that cool? Not the aneurysm, but how she recovered. And there was no problems, nothing ongoing. Could have been bad. Wait, brain aneurysms, you could die in the spot. She's alert. Okay, praise God. So I think, what a cool marker in the middle of a miracle. 17 years to buy the building. And then we had to start our whole journey of remodeling the building. But we had that one day, that one blessing day, that God said, just be one family. And it was such a nice day. It was a marker in the middle of the river. But you know, God doesn't just do things like that for the sake of just doing them like that. And when he builds a marker in our life, there's a reason for it. And this is my point. Of all that to say, this is my point of this. This is God talking. Build this memorial that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in the time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that out of the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. And when it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. In other words, it walked over on dry ground. And these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. A memorial to the children of Israel forever. Do you know why God does markers in our life? So we tell other people of the goodness of God. There's a high point in my life, God, you did this, and I'm going to tell everybody that you did this. God, you prepared us to get a building, and then you did this in 4 days, and we got in, and we could be one whole unit. And then you prepared us to have this remodeling effort that's gone on and, judging from our stairs, is still going on. So we tell of him. And when we have things that you have individual things in your life, and if you have them in your life, he wants us to tell and give others a sense of what he can do and what he's done and how he changes us. Our lives are markers for him. We give our life to the Lord. We follow him. A lot of times, we know it as soon as we give our life to the Lord. We feel good. No one tells us to feel good. We just do. What a massive blessing. And their whole life's changed. And people start to notice, you've changed. We never said we have to change. Just the Ruach, when he moves in, when the Spirit moves in, we just change. We become more like him. Our life is a marker to that. And we tell other people of how good he is to us. And we tell other people of what he's done for us in our lives. We don't just have it so we just have it ourselves. It's not our little inside secret with God. It's something for us to tell of him about. I think I look at this building. I walk through this building all the time. I mean, like every week, and I've said this before. I walk around and I think, God, I can't believe you gave us this building. It still blows my mind. There's so much we can do, and we, you know, we're chipping away at projects all the time. There's always something. On Monday, they start finally putting the concrete slab for our outdoor pavilion. It's a little late for us, but we'll catch it for next spring. We're going to build an outdoor pavilion with a slab so we can have a roof and have brunch after service during One. Wouldn't it be cool to have a grill set up and have scrambled eggs, right? We talked about this. But there's always projects here. No bacon, by the way. Don't bring that sinful stuff around here. No bacon, trash talk. Not one slice. Turkey bacon. Turkey bacon we like. The turkeys don't, but we like it. But God has blessed us with a building. And my point in saying the building is to say we have just a physical reminder of a marker every time we walk in here. And I look at you and you are a marker of God's goodness. And you look at me, I hope that you see I'm a marker of God's goodness. And we tell other people about the work that he's done in our lives. But now here's a catch. And this is kind of how to walk out some of this marker conversation. Exodus 20, right in the Torah. This is from the Lord. The Lord is giving these 613 laws. And he says a really interesting thing in these 613. in Torah. An altar of earth you shall make for me. In other words, when you make an altar, you make an altar of earth. And you shall sacrifice on it these your burnt offerings and your peace offerings and your sheep and your oxen. In other words, no man-made materials in this altar. In every place where I record my name, I will come to you and I will bless you. Verse 25, this is the interesting part here in this passage for us this morning. And if you make me an altar of stone, you shall not build it of hewn stone. For if you use your tool on it, you have profaned it. If you're going to make an altar of stone, just use natural stone. Don't try to shape it and make it look human pretty. Do you know what I mean by that? You see these beautiful like carvings or ornate carvings. People would look at the stone for the sake of what the human did to the stone, and they would take away from what the altar was. How God makes the stone is perfect. It points to Him. God's very good at making stone. Better than humans. And we never want to take away from recognizing God's work. My point is, if we have a memorial in our life, an altar in our life, maybe a private, or not, you know, a spiritual kind of altar, if we have something in our life that we want to build to honor God or share a testimony of God or tell others of God, don't embellish. Don't try to add to it. Sometimes people share testimonies of the Lord and they try to add and make it sound flowery and, you know, amazing. God's story is always amazing. Look at our lives. It just needs to be told what He did. Sometimes people think it's only half of a story. Well, Jim, you know, you're talking about a 17-year building project. I guess you weren't, you know, ready to get it faster. They make it sound like there's a deficiency that it took 17 years. 17 years wasn't my timing, it was God's timing. So when I talk about the 17 years, I go, glory to God. He knew what He was doing for a 17-year plan for us. He was working in a lot of lives to make that 17 years just so. He was sharp. So when we tell a story, we never have to worry about that we didn't put enough into it or that we should add more to it. We just tell the story that God's done. And that story will be perfect. Because it's what God's done. We need markers. So this morning, I want to encourage you, think on those things in your life and find those things that were memorials for you, markers between the Lord and you. Make more markers, more memories. Get to know new people. You know, there's great markers in relationships. Sometimes the markers aren't always the best marker. I suppose it could be a dispute. But make a marker. Challenge yourself. Lord, what can I do to make a moment in life that it will always be something to remind me of your goodness? What can you do? And I know this is an open-ended question. We're all in different places in our life. But if we have the earnestness to make markers, how can we go wrong? Because we'll remember God's goodness in our life. And we can tell others of Him. Amen? God likes us when we remember Him. He does. I've got a little wall kind of a crazy wall in my basement. And I've got these things hanging up that my kids made. Not all the little pictures. There's a million of those. My kids are fully grown now. Although they're still my kids. You know what I mean by that? They're adults, chronologically, but they're still my kids. Anyway, I have this wall and these things that they made me over the years. And certain things are hanging up in this wall. And I go down there and I think, wow, it's really neat. And I like to look at them. They bring good memories. And I think, and you know, that's just an illustration. I think God likes to look at us and say, how are my children doing today? As He's peeking. As He's looking and He's moving in our life all the time. What's going on with my children when they sleep? And He likes when we make a marker of Him. This is not a frivolous topic. This is a meaningful topic. It matters to Him and it matters to how we view Him and how we tell of Him. So make markers. Please stand up. I'm going to pray for us. Lord God, markers are Your idea. You give direction for certain types of markers in Your word and how to build. You call us to remember. You call us to be mindful. We know markers teach us many things. Markers help us, anchor us. Markers are wonderful things in our life when they're of You. So we pray for good markers. It's Your idea. And we pray to grow in your ideas and your desires more and more and more. And let markers be one of those things that we really flourish in. Not to get caught in those markers, Lord, but to be vocal because of the markers, to be encouraged and to encourage because of the markers. Lord, I thank you for what you do. I thank you for the marker of this building. I thank you for the marker of the lives in this building. We know the building is just a building. It's more about what you're doing in us. But we're blessed by the marker of the building, and we're blessed again by the lives in this building. Help us with the vision that you yourself have given us and have markers to that. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. B'shem Yeshua. Amen. Yevarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai panav aliyecha vihunecha. Yisei Adonai panav aliyecha v'yaseim lacha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. So be blessed. There's prayers here. They're going to have lanyards on. Come up and pray anything you want. And there's food down the hall for Oneg, and there's schmooze everywhere in this building. So just make markers today.